Welcome to the Grace Church Parenting Podcast. Thank you so much for checking us out. You're actually joining us in part two of a three-part conversation that we're having with Brian and Ed, the authors of Away Game. And so if you missed the past conversation, you should definitely go back and listen to that. You won't regret it. And so thanks so much for listening. We hope that you enjoyed it as much as we did. I'd love for us to kind of transition now in kind of talk about disappointments and injuries and failures. So my question for either Brian or Ed, whoever wants to take it, is how can parents respond to their child's disappointments, which might be getting benched or losing the starting spot or missing the cut, without minimizing it or overreacting?
Yep. The first thing when our kids experience disappointment that I am prone to do is I want to save my kid or justify it or rescue him or her in some way. Because it's hard when our kids are hurting and we feel like a quick fix is to blame it on a coach or a referee or a teammate who didn't pass them the ball. So I need to remember that when my kid is hurting as a result of, a benching or a loss or something like that, it's okay for me just to be present and not to try to justify what happened or come up with answers, but to just be with them and give them a hug and say, it's okay, I'm here. If you need to cry, I'm right here with you. It's okay. Those become really, really good opportunities for me as the parent, as the dad, to build trust with my kids, to let them know they don't need to be the best. They can experience a perceived injustice on the field or court, and I'm still going to be right there with them. So that's one side, is just I want to make sure I have a growing awareness of God might be doing something bigger in this moment than what I just saw on the field. And so I just want to be slow to try to justify why what happened and just be present. The other thing that I think is really important for especially Christian parents to realize is the rest of sport culture is always going to attach some sort of identity to our athletes when they make a mistake. So it's the shame, it's the blame, it's you are less than, you're always going to be the result of your latest performance. And that could not be anything further than what the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches us, that our identity is not based on our performance or the things we do. It's actually based on what God did on our behalf. And it's grounded in relationship, not in results. So when our kids, when they fail in sport, when they, again, whether that's being benched or missing a shot or not getting enough playing time or getting taken out, that really is, it's a performance issue. And when they come back to us, for us to extend the same sort of affirmation, affection, love towards them in the midst of them being broken, they're hopefully going to experience grace from us in the similar way that we experience grace from God. And so I'm not saying I do this perfectly. I at least have a growing category in my mind of when failure happened. I'm starting to see them more as like this really good opportunity that God might be doing something big in their life that I'm not aware of. But then too, this is a really good chance for me to model a grace-based relationship instead of performance-based relationship with them.
That's good, Brian. I remember, man, this was an old moody pastor, Erwin Lutzer. It was called Failure, the Backdoor to Success. It's a bit of a title that kind of goes along with exactly what Brian is saying. I need to become more aware of my own emotional state when these failures happen. Because I'm thinking, like, how do I do what Brian's just talking about? I need to check myself first as a parent. Don't panic when my kid fails. I feel embarrassed. I feel sometimes shame. I feel a word that's strong. I feel shame in the stands when it was my kid that ran backwards and scored on the opposite end in junior high. And other parents are just, you know, I can see them fuming because it matters so much that we have to win this game. You know, again, we need perspective so bad, but whatever. I feel ashamed in that moment. You know, they get hurt, and I feel identity is at stake in myself through them. So that has to get cleaned up first, that my identity is not at stake with my kid's performance or my kid starting or my kid making the shot instead of missing it. It can't be at stake. There's something bigger going on that we don't see. We're in the Christmas season as we're recording these, and we did a ninth grade Bible study on the genealogy in Matthew and just looked at all the different names. I mean, I was afraid it was going to be as boring. It was very stimulating. And what we said was, if you look at all those names, there's so much brokenness and failure in that list of genealogy, in Jesus's list of genealogy. You got people making really bad choices in their life that are recorded in the Old Testament. But God had this plan where it's all working together for his. And so that's true in the smallest of things, where when you have failures, you have brokenness that you experience in this of your life called sports, part of some bigger thing. So we don't want to run to that right away, like Brian said, but can I empathize and acknowledge the feelings and admit what I'm struggling with too? And flip the coin over at some point and say, but God, what is he doing? He has to learn in this moment. Is it patience? Is it perseverance? Is it trust that it's going to be okay? Again, we need to become more competent in talking about those things in our living rooms and in the car rides and from the pulpits in the context of sports.
Can I add something to add to that?
Go.
Yeah, So again, for me, I am not mature enough in the moment to do that. Like when my kid makes a mistake, I'm not mature enough to think like, okay, I can't justify it. I need to be patient with him. This is a gospel moment. Because oftentimes I approach their games with this expectation of what could be. And my expectations are usually performance metrics. It's, man, I hope he gets playing time. I hope he catches the pass. I hope she gets to run the final leg of the 4x200. And when I bring my earthly expectations to bear on the game or the meet or the competition, as Lions and Cleveland Brown fans, we know that our expectations are often met. So I need to change my expectations on the front end, right? I need to have a growing awareness of when I step out of the car to go to the game, I need to just do my own little devotional and say, God, whatever happens today, would you help me to respond in a way that honors you and connects me somehow deeper with my kid? It's me from the get-go out of the car trying to die to this fan self that I carry almost everywhere in life and say, this isn't a time to bring my fandom to bear on this game. This is a time to be a dad. And wow. To be a primary discipler of my kid. And when I start games with that posture, I'm much better positioned to respond Christianly than when I just show up all razzled and bring my normal self to the game. So all that to say, it starts with an expectation on the front end of what you're bringing to those games. If you want to respond in a way that is Christianly, you need to start by thinking Christianly.
Wow. And that come alongside the disappointment, the hurt, like it, if they're feeling that, if you're going back to this question of like, who's leading your kid? Like if we're letting the coaches lead them through the actual skills and the game stuff, and we are helping still lead them through the character and their faith and all those situations, it's so much easier for us to come alongside it. They don't need to hear from why they missed the shot or whatever, like that we don't have as much clout anyways when we're having those conversations. But if we can come alongside them, and it's not just, oh, so sorry, just pray on it, like we're not saying that either. We're just saying like if we're coming alongside it somewhere in the middle of that, of like of focusing on the character. I love how you handled this situation. I love how you become the leader on the sidelines if you aren't playing as much right now. If we're grabbing onto those things all the time, that's how we're identified by our kids, versus they're just waiting for us to tell them, you know, I told you if you did that in the backyard, which is what can happen. So I love that, if as we all work together again, going back to this concept, that's our role. to always be doing that. They'll expect to hear that from us. Like, hey, mom and dad are going to help me turn this obstacle into a way of something good.
Yeah.
But sometimes Mark, I think it's okay for our kids to just hear from us if they get beat, to be able to hear you got beat today, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I still love you. There doesn't always have to be a lesson attached to it. Sometimes it's like they were a lot better than you, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. With all those things, getting benched, starting a spot, getting cut, which I've experienced all those, by the way, in my own life, even as I look at that list. So I know the feelings that go with that. And I think it is so helpful to be empathized with, but also to hear the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's playing because he's better. She's doing what the coach wants right now. Now, again, I could turn that into this manipulative, shaming kind of moment. No, that's just the truth. How do we regroup? You go up at practice today. What's it look like for you to continue to work on X? Like, you just go back to work. Don't worry about whether you're getting this or that other. You just become the best for that space. And no matter what happens, like Brian said, they just need to keep hearing. And I love you no matter what. Yeah. I love coming to watch you warm up, even if you don't play. So give the best F can in warm-ups. And, you know, sweat it out like you're going to play. You don't know what's going to happen. You just keep giving effort and energy. And that glorifies God in and of itself when you show up that way. And then love your teammates. Again, it always ends up coming back to that. What is your eyes off yourself and actually be an asset to the other people around you? Again, that's just like a whole nother level of maturity that's hard to even acquire as an adult. But let's try. Let's try to care about the people around us instead of just ourselves today.
Mm-hmm. I think that allows parents to realize that, like, giving permission for failure, like, that's going to happen. You're going to lose. Someone's going to be better than you, and that's okay. And having to, like, help navigate those conversations. You talked about, I think Brian mentioned, like, sometimes parents, like, their identity is their kid's sport and, like, their kid's ability to do it and perform well and better than they were ever able to do it themselves. And I think that's dangerous when parents project maybe their own dreams or own unmet desires that maybe they weren't able to do it when they were younger, but it's like their kids, it's now their second chance because their kids get the opportunity to do so. So how would parents navigate the right of not letting their kids' success and failure become their own?
Yeah, it's so profound what you just said, Jocelyn. Like, I almost feel like we just need to take a second and let that sink in. I definitely feel that way with my kids. They're a second chance. I feel it again, embarrassing to say it. And I've been working through it. It's books. I needed someone else to write this book 15 years ago for us. That's what we said at the beginning of this. And I've been saying this, and this is kind of my thing that I just keep coming back to. I need to check myself. I need to bring my regrets to God. I need to bring my fears to God. Again, there's nothing uncommon. Like, I feel like we all feel these things. Start by bringing them to God and admit that they're there and that it's not right to project that up. Like, God has a completely different reason why he is allowing my kids to play sports and experiencing them. He's trying to do something different in their life than what I want for them. I want them to be a second chance at success. He's trying to build some other character, some other experience into their life. It may involve winning. It probably, because most of life is about learning how to lose, accept loss. That almost be a whole nother podcast, but it really is. And touch with my own stuff, my Uncle Rico stuff. Maybe Brian, talk about that a little bit, because we unpacked that helpful. I will at least no longer be a hint to what God is trying to do in my kid's life. Again, that's something I'm actually getting in the way of what God's trying to do because of my own junk. So Jocelyn, you said it. Just being able to acknowledge that, and Brian said, God, this is all here with me as I sit in the parking lot getting ready to go into this stadium or into this gym. Help me to think differently as I walk in here today. Help me to control myself and to actually want what you want instead of just what I want. That's a big boy or big girl way to go through life, having those little before we go into sports settings. Brian, talk about Uncle Rico.
Yeah, it's from the movie Napoleon Dynamite many, many years ago. Uncle Rico was sitting on the back porch with his nephew Kip and kind of bemoaning the fact that he didn't get an opportunity to play to get a starting spot in high school football. And so he kind of reflects to Kip and says, man, if Coach would have just put me in senior year, we'd have won state, not a doubt in my mind. And it's this mentality of, if this and this and this and this and this would have happened, then I would have become this. And as parents, we do that with our kids. I think well-intentioned, we do that with our kids. Man, if Hudson, my freshman son, put in 50 miles a week next summer, got the good shoes, really embraces his role on the cross country team, and this can stay healthy, then he's going to become this. And we try to set up this perfect if then situation. And I need to remember, and maybe this will be a word for other people too, our kids are not going to reach their athletic potential. Like, to just let that sit in. They're probably not going to reach their athletic potential. If they are, it's not going to be because of me signing them up for something or giving them this opportunity. It's going to be because they have, one, a unique God-given talent to do whatever they're doing. But then, just as important, they have this internal drive that's not dependent on mom or dad or coach or anybody else pushing them and pulling them and getting them to become this optimal version of themselves. They want it. They're getting up at 6 a.m. to do the lift. They're staying after practice to work on a left-handed layup. They're the one who's internally motivated to do all of this stuff. So without that, they're not going to reach it. And that's okay. Like, if they don't have this internal drive and this God-gifted talent, it's okay if they just make the JV freshman basketball team and that's the only basketball career they ever get. Like, that's okay. Not everybody is going to be the next whatever, but it's important for us to realize as parents, some of our kids have it and some of them don't. We can't buy that. We can't invest enough where it's going to be built in them. God's ultimately the author of whether that's going to happen for them or not.
And Brian, whether they made it or not won't matter. This is another thing. Again, everything you just said is just very disturbing to hear that, but it's true. Here's what else is true. When they're 25, it won't matter whether they started midway through their junior year on the varsity basketball team or they stayed JV all the way through to the end. It won't matter. It doesn't matter. But you know what will matter? One, will they want to come home for Thanksgiving when they're 25? Because you still have a relationship with them that's been cooking for the last 15 years because of the way you connected with them instead of constantly correcting them. That's one question that's at stake when they're 5 and 15 that matters. The other thing that's going to matter is, do they see people? Do they know how to experience peace in the midst of difficult things happening? Do they know how to recover from disappointments? Do they know how to recognize entitlement in themselves and confess that and lay that aside and become other-centered? Do they know how to experience joy in the midst of whatever circumstances they're facing? See, that stuff actually matters when they're 25 and 35, if you're following what I'm saying. So the sooner can be a part of trying to train that kind of stuff into them in of sports, that matters way more than whether or not they ever learn to hit the pitch that's on the outside corner or stopped hitting the ball into the volleyball net on the way down or, you know, on the soccer field or whatever. None of that stuff's going to matter. all the other
Yeah,
stuff,
maybe Ed, here's another category that we haven't talked about before. We've said before, like the will your kid want to come home for Thanksgiving in 25 years? Man, what about when you become a grandparent? Will your son or daughter celebrate you playing backyard catch with your kids, or will they see that as a threat? Will they celebrate you as a grandparent spending time away, showing up at sports, or will they, because of how they've experienced you as a parent, will they stiff arm you and kind of keep you at an arm's distance? So, like, there is a lot at stake long term beyond like this eight-year-old soccer game really matters. It does, in the sense that it could position your relationship with your kid for the next 20 to 30 years and your experience with grandkids. Like that, it sounds a little extreme to say that, but we all know if we take this current posture of youth sports today and carry it on year after year and stack it on top of each other, that's what begins to create this future relationship opportunities, on the good side or the bad side.
And all
Okay, I
that
have to
said.
give a transparent story here when you guys are sharing this. So I learned a lot. My own son, who stepped away from soccer his senior year, and I had my own struggles, right? All year, I coached for 6 years, like really struggling with it, and I give him so much credit because he went out with another parent and ex-coach and talked it out and came home and decided not to play. And I remember having my own struggles with that, after all the things we had done, all the investment, and nobody remembers it. He doesn't remember it. He had an amazing senior year. He worked. He's now marrying the girl he was dating that year in the next year. Like, he's a better man for it. And it was my own projected stuff. He's better for it, and he and I are better for it.
Wow.
And I could go the other side and say my daughter decided to play sport. She wasn't sure she wanted to, and kind of played all the way through and had great experience. But neither of them are identified by either of those choices now. We don't think or talk. We don't sit. We didn't sit around Thanksgiving this year being like, "Remember when you didn't play soccer senior year? Or, remember when you decided to stay with volleyball?" Like, no, we're not talking about that. They're both great kids who were home for Thanksgiving from school, and relationship's good. Though it's amazing how those moments can feel intense, and they only have to be as much as we make them. So that's my own transparency moment.
Yeah, that's good. We need, I mean, it's wisdom, isn't it? We need to hear more voices from parents whose kids are in their 20s and 30s. Again, these conversations could be happening more to hear from those parents, to hear exactly what you just said, Mark. I mean, that's transformational. It really is that it's going to be, and that your relationship actually matters way more. With all that said, and again, I just feel like need to sprinkle this in every once in a while. We still want our kids on. It is fun. We, of course, we want our kids to have success by skill and performance metrics. There's nothing that happens. But again, is there another list of metrics that's right alongside of that and even more important? And can we be okay when it doesn't happen? Because there's something bigger going on. Here's the other crazy thing. We all want our kids to play college sports, and we talk about this for half an hour. College sports is a wasteland value system. It's worse than the youth sport landscape. Our kid gets up, why is it playing on a college team? Is he or she equipped actually to stand as a Christian in that space? We interact with college athletes all the time. Most of them are not enjoying playing their sport. They're doing it because it's tied to their identity, scholarship money. They're doing it because they're afraid of what it would mean to not be doing it anymore. But if you ask them, are they enjoying it? No. I stopped enjoying it a long time ago. Just so you realize that. Like, that's not the.
That might be a follow-up. There's a lot to that for sure. Because I agree.
Come on.
That was our second part conversation with Brian and Ed, and I hope that what you see as a parent, that you have to model and demonstrate your faith to your kid, and that when they see that in you, that they realize that their faith should be the thing that defines them even over their sport. So next week is going to be our last part of this series with Brian and Ed, so be sure to check that out. You won't want to miss it.